And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Tonight we got a fun topic, an important topic, one that I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about. But first, we got our camera in here. Say hi, Mandy.
Hi, Mandy.
Very good. And our guest tonight, Aaron Giesler, joining us from Grace Church. Say hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Did I say your name, last name, right? Okay, I want to make sure I do that. And I just like shooting a little video before we do Raw Talk, just so people can see that, yes, there is someone in
the
studio.
We do work.
Yes, we do work.
We try.
That's right. And those are the guys on the other side of the glass. That's Steve Madrid and Jim. They do a fine job producing everything.
They're
you guys do a great job. And, yeah, it's kind of weird shooting this with a reflection. So we'll let people see that tomorrow. Okay, I just got a scary shot right up my nose. Time to turn that off. Well, tonight we're going to talk about God's will, and this is a topic that I know a lot of people have questions about. And before we dive into it, first what I wanted to remind people about is the new Dear DJ section at M88.org. This is something that we set up for people who have questions. You got questions about God's will. Maybe you don't feel like calling in tonight. Leave your question at Dear DJ at M88.org, and I'll jump on tomorrow and answer it. Aaron can jump on and submit a comment to answer your question. Or if you have other questions, we had our first submission on Friday for Dear DJ, and it was a doozy. I didn't expect to get hit with like a really, really tough question, and hopefully we helped out the person who asked it. But that is there just so that youth pastors like Aaron and the DJs here at M88 can help you guys with the questions that you have. So check it out, Dear DJ at M88.org. And Aaron, before we really dive into this, why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself, where you're coming from, so they can get to know who you are.
Well, my name's Aaron. I'm a youth pastor at Grace Church, just down the road here. Before that, I've been I was a high school math teacher and varsity football coach in Texas. And
Friday Night Lights?
Yeah, basically.
Cool.
So done a whole lot of things, but really just I love working with teens, and I've dealt with a lot of teens, and I'm very pretty passionate about this topic, because teen years is kind of when you ask yourself, what does God want from me?
Yeah.
What does God want for my life? And so this is a topic that I'm really drawn to.
Yeah, you know, and it's not even just the teen years. I know people who are, you know, the midlife crisis. They
all
come across the same thing. Yeah, everyone eventually asks this question, often repeatedly. And if you would like to ask a question about God's will as we talk about this tonight, 505-338-5790 is the number to call as we discuss this topic tonight. So please do call in, 505-338-5790, as we talk a little bit about God's will. Now, I want to start off by saying that I know what God's will is. I mentioned this to you on Friday.
Yeah, you did. I was really curious about this.
Yes, and I will tell people what I know about God's will later on in the program, but I just wanted to tease everyone right now. I have the answer to this, and I will share it later tonight.
God has the answer. You just found
That's
it.
Right. God actually, you're right. God revealed the answer to me, and I was really stoked when I stumbled across it, and I was kind of freaking out. It's like, wow, there it is.
It's right there.
Wow.
You know,
it's right there.
Everybody wants to know, and that's something that you pointed out earlier this week, is everybody's searching for this answer that's, you know, this big mystery. And like I said, I'm really curious to see what you found, because given I ask that question all the time, you know, what is God's will for my life?
It's the question that we all ask, and I was really stoked when I found the answer to it, and I'll share the answer that I discovered later tonight. First, Aaron, let's try and define this a little bit, because it's a big topic, it's a big word, it's a common Christianese kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Let's try and narrow it down a little bit. Let's put it this way. What do most people mean when they say God's will, and what does the term God's will really mean?
Okay, there's a couple of different things that people talk about. When you read, you know, in Jeremiah 29, a pretty famous passage, they think about God's will, and it can mean an overarching kind of plan. You know, everything from the creation to the fall to the church age, you know, the Old Testament, the church age, redemption, new heaven, new earth, and everything that's going to happen that has happened and will happen. And that's like God's kind of immutable plan. You know, not going to change. He knows everything, that kind of thing. Yeah, they can talk about that. But most of the time when people talk about God's will, they mean a very specific plan and idea for their life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what most people mean when they say, I just want to find out what God's will is. And they're talking about details, about, you know, with teens, it's college and who to marry. Do I date or not date? Do I, you know, go here, go there, major in this, major in that, look for this kind of job, etc.
You know, when we talk about it that way, I often feel like we treat God's will as if, I mentioned this earlier, like some sort of magic eight ball.
Oh, yeah.
Is this okay? And you shake it up. Come on. Yes, it is. And you just kind of, you know, keep your fingers crossed that everything works out the way that you want. And that always seemed to me kind of a shallow way to think of God's will, that he's the magic eight ball that you just ask these questions of and hope that you get a positive answer. And if you don't, well, then you just shake it up again and hope that something else comes up.
That's right. Hopes
that something else shakes loose with it. And I'll be honest, you know, that's the way I kind of treated God's will when I was younger. Because, to be honest, I didn't really think a whole lot about it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I guess I never really received any theological training in it, for a lack of a better word.
Most people don't, because they it's like they have this idea that, they say, okay, God has a plan for me. I read it in his word. He has a plan for me. But then it's like they go and say, but it's my job to figure out. It's like God's hiding it. And God is keeping it hidden. And so you're looking under every nook and cranny and trying to make, you know. I tell you where it really, when I was in college, I had a roommate. And he would wake up in the morning and literally, not lying, would pray for 20 minutes to figure out what God's will for him was to eat for breakfast. Because he didn't want to eat the wrong thing. Because he didn't want to live out plan B for God's plan B for his life.
Including breakfast.
Including breakfast. Because if you eat the wrong thing, hey, it's the most important meal of the day, I think. That's what somebody told me. So you don't want to mess that up, because that could just cause him more mess ups.
Wow, I don't think I've ever heard that before. Now, Mandy, what about you? I mean, what has been your experience when you've encountered this issue of God's will? I mean, how do you define that?
Well, I've encountered it many different ways, both by how I have viewed it and how I've talked to other people about it. One being that, you know, the will of God, the definition of that being, you know, the overarching, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. He has a plan for everybody, especially for believers, and, you know, like we've been talking about, believers always want to find out what that is. The other side of that I found is that people want to know what God's will is for specific circumstances in their lives, for different events, for different decisions that they have to make. That's, Aaron, like something you pointed out, especially for teens, is they want to know for every little thing in their life, you know, can I do this? Is this okay? Is this God's will for my life? I'm going to step back and pray about it for however long. Now, do I think that that's wrong? No, I think that we should pray for important and, I mean, even what we might consider silly things at times to find out what God's will is. But something that I've come across, especially in the last year, is that the will of God for somebody's life is so much deeper than just, you know, what am I going to eat for breakfast? It covers our whole life. It's not just case by case. And it's not something that we should pray for as though, like again, Aaron, like you said, like, God's trying to hide it from us, because he's not. He has a will for our lives that's very clearly spoken of in the Word. You know, he tells us that he has a plan for us and that he loves us. And you know, we're called to worship him. We're called to make disciples of all nations. And, you know, it really is. It covers our whole life. It's just like having a relationship with God. You don't go to God just when you need something. It really has to take up every aspect of your life as a believer.
Okay, here's a sticky question that I always enjoy asking, and I'm not saying there's a right way or a wrong way to answer this question. I'm just curious what you guys think about this. Is there something in God's will for every decision that we make in life? Meaning, are there some decisions that we make that have nothing to do with God's will? They're just day-to-day decisions that we make as we live our life, living out our free will, and doesn't necessarily have anything to do with God's overarching plan. You know, does God have a specific will for every single minute detail of our life?
Yes and no.
Okay, explain that.
Yes, and the fact that, you know, it's, you know, it says that doves are bought and sold for, you know, two for a penny, Jesus says, except one of them doesn't fall to the ground except for he knows. So every little detail of your life is part of that immutable, that unchangeable, that overarching plan that God has. But is it such that mystery that you have to go and find out exactly, oh man, can I do this or not do this? If I don't do this, do I mess up God's plan?
And what's the answer to that?
Yes and no.
Okay. Well, I was just kind of curious. Well, because you brought up, you know, your college roommate.
Yep.
And I know there's some people who agonize over that detail.
Mm-hmm.
That every little thing, single thing that happens in their life is somehow part of God's will. And I'm going to be honest, a lot of Christians I've come across who take that viewpoint have gotten kind of lazy. They don't do anything of their own initiative.
No, I know.
And they
don't. It takes a responsibility off of them.
Right.
They use God as a scapegoat.
Exactly.
Well,
that is exactly.
Not only that, but I've noticed that people, a lot of times when people do that, where, you know, whether it's breakfast or whether it's, you know, should I drive this way to work today or this way to work today? Now, given, again, I agree with the whole yes and no thing. I think that every decision made, including breakfast and including, you know, what way you drive to work, affects your life in some way. Do I believe that Christians should fuss over these things? No, because and really that's where faith comes in. Are we trusting God to actually take care of these things for us, or are we saying that we have to get really worked up about all these little tiny details that really just make up everyday life? I mean, given we're going to worry about things, we're going to have times where we just look to God and say, God, I don't know what you're doing with this, and I need your help to understand that he's in control of it. Not to understand every circumstance, but to understand that he's in control of it. And again, that comes back down to faith, you know?
Well, Paul also talks about living in mundane things. It's, you know, whether you eat or drink. I mean, he's talking about something you do, in my case, 7 or 8 times a day, 12 times a day, even eating and drinking. I'm supposed to glorify God in all those things. So that, I mean, those things, you know, the little things, eating, drinking, driving your car, going to work, I mean, that seem mundane, they are important because you're supposed to do those to the glory of God.
Well, going back to your scapegoat comment, one of the things that I've personally have always struggled with this idea, and here's where I think sometimes we get lazy, is that no matter what happens, we ascribe it to God's will.
Mm. Yeah.
And so something bad happens, Hurricane Katrina. Well, it's God's will. And then we just write it off without thinking about, you know, what should I do? How do I respond? What am I supposed to do in the midst of a crisis? You know, we just write those moments off as, oh, it's God's, because nothing happens outside of God's will. And then I get really uncomfortable because then I'm thinking, okay, so what you're saying is that God is causing all these bad things to happen because it's his will. And that gets into some really tricky territory for me with the Bible saying that, you know, God doesn't cause anyone to sin or doesn't tempt anyone. There is no, you know, he's holy. There's no evil in him.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, when we do this whole thing, well, God's will covers everything that happens in life. I have to wonder, well, how does that apply to evil?
Yeah. That's fourth down, and I think you punt. That's a football thing.
Wow. That was actually something that I was going to bring up, too, because that's one thing that really gets me is, and again, I kind of go both ways on this because, I mean, nothing happens outside of God's control. God is in control of everything that happens. So, you know, whether it be, and I've met people who have said stuff like that, you know, Katrina is, you know, in God's will, and you know, all of our sins are in God's will. What is the difference, do you guys think, between something being caused by God and something that God can use ultimately for his glory, even if it's an awful thing that happened?
See, I think the difference between something being caused by God and something being used by God mm-hmm. is the source of where that comes from.
Mm-hmm.
If we say everything is caused by God, then God is ultimately responsible for everything that happens in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as far as I've read in the Bible, there's more going on here than just what God wants. There's our will, and there's the will of Satan. And all these wills are contesting here on this planet. That's mm-hmm. why it's called a spiritual battle. So the difference between everything is caused by God and God can use all things for the good is that, sure, God doesn't cause everything to happen, but no matter what happens, ultimately he is able to make it work out according to his will. And I always thought that was kind of an interesting viewpoint to take. Someone put it to me this way. Is your God so big that he can be in control of every little detail in this world? That takes a big God.
Mm-hmm.
But is God big enough that even if he isn't in control of every little detail that happens in this world, he can still ultimately make it all work out according to his will. And when someone explained to me that way, it kind of blew my mind. Like, that is a big God. No matter what happens or who starts it, who causes it, God is able to make it work out for good according to his will. That's pretty mind-blowing, and that started, you know, a long cocoon, as Dr. Tackett puts it in the Truth Project, for me in this idea of the encompassing of God's will. And it's been an interesting journey, but I love talking about it. I'm like you. It's like, man, this is a fascinating topic. The problem is some people get really kind of nervous when you say some of those types of things, because they're more comfortable thinking, well, God's responsible for everything, so I don't have to worry about it.
Or they take the opposite view, and they'll say, well, I used to work at some smaller churches, and I would speak with, I spoke with a lady who was in her 80s, and one day she comes up to me after the service, and she's crying, and I said, well, you know, what's wrong? And she said, well, when I was 16 years old, you know, 64 years ago, I was called to be it was God's will for me that I'd be a missionary, but I blew it. She had raised three godly kids, had taught a children's Sunday school class for, you know, almost 50 years. People loved her. She was beloved in the community, had done great things, had helped people. Yet she thought she was living God's plan B for her life. Mm. And there was so much guilt and remorse and, I mean, just shame in her voice even. I mean, I felt truly sorry. And it was like, no, you didn't waste your life by living out this plan B. You didn't, you know, miss it. You maybe didn't do what you wanted to, but you didn't miss God's will.
Well, and that's one of the saddest things that I've seen. And I know that back right after I became a believer, this hit me a couple times until, you know, God really had to put in my heart how much he loved me for me to finally realize this. But I see so many believers who, you know, like this lady, and even on much deeper levels, whether it be with sexual purity or people who have been thieves in the past, people who have been in part of gangs, and they feel as though God is going to give them something less than what he had originally had planned for them because they blew it so bad in the past. And I think a lot of times what believers fail to realize is God's plan for you, I don't believe that God's plan for you changes because of your sin. He knows what's in the heart of man. He knows that we're going to sin. Yeah. And he doesn't punish us in that way when we become believers. When we're forgiven, and that's it. You know, it's not a hit or miss thing that we as believers have to be perfect, or, you know, God's not going to use us in the way that he wants to, or God's not going to bless us with the things that he was going to bless us with. Because let's face it, he already knew. He knew that we were going to sin. So whatever we get, these blessings that we get, we can't assume that, you know, maybe it was going to be better. Like for this lady, you can't look at her life and say, well, maybe if I were a missionary, God would have used me in a greater way than he did, because he used her in such a wonderful way, you know. And that applies to, you know, many of these believers that I've seen that have that mindset and that hurt in their hearts that God's will for them has changed.
And God loves them less even.
Yeah. And it really is sad just to see that taking place in the hearts of so many believers, you know.
Well, 505-338-5790, if you'd like to join in as we talk about this issue of God's will. It's a big topic, and if we've already brought up something that you're curious about and would like to explore further, you know, maybe we've moved on. You're like, no, wait, go back to that. I want to talk about that more. Well, you got to let us know. 505-338-5790, if you'd like to call in tonight and join us as we talk a little bit about God's will here on Raw Talk. And, you know, maybe now's a good time. We've kind of laid some groundwork, asked some big questions, and thrown out some really big concepts. Well, maybe now it's a good time to kind of narrow it down a little bit and ask, okay, how do I figure this out? How do I figure out what God's will is? Because really, you know, we can talk about all those big concepts all we want. What people really want to know is a how-to.
How does it apply to me?
They want the 10 steps. They want the 5-step program. They want, you know, whatever the secret formula is. And so that brings up, you know, a whole bunch of issues of its own. But
well, you did say this. You did say the words, the secret formula.
Right.
And I think that is a huge mistake many Christians make. And they do treat God like the magic 8-ball. And there's even one author who says that if anytime you try to come up with this formula to try to figure out either the purpose or the plan, and you're using a formula, that is what the pagans did.
Hmm.
I mean, you might as well use what is different from having this set ritual than pulling out tarot cards or pulling out, you know, using a Ouija board or, and I know that may shock some people, but what's the difference?
Well, you know, it's actually surprising how many Christians are actually into the occult. You know, when I've done some raw talks on the occult, things like Ouija boards or getting your palm read, it's amazing to me just how many Christians think that's okay.
Yeah.
Or that that's a viable way of trying to figure out God's will for their lives.
Well, and I think it's this belief that because it is something that's supernatural, people, you know, you look at God and God is supernatural. Like, he really is. And so I think people look at that and they look at angels and they look at demons and say, well, if all of this exists, then this must be an okay way, because really we're just getting in tuned with whether it be spirits, or maybe they even believe that they're getting in tuned with God and, you know, by that trying to figure out what he wants from. And it really is dangerous because, I mean, that's
playing with fire.
Yeah. 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 You're opening doors to things that.
But even with people who would never go to a spiritualist or rather cut their arm off than mess with tarot cards or something. Whenever you start putting a formula, and even if it's, I've seen Christians say, well, I'm just going to open up my Bible randomly and put my finger somewhere.
And whatever you land on.
And whatever you land on, that's going to be my guidance. What's the difference?
Yeah. You know, when The Secret came out just not too long ago, it really got big, a year ago or so, I got a lot of questions about, you know, isn't this just like a way to enhance prayer? This is really just helping my prayer life to be fulfilled. I'm starting to see answers. I'm starting to figure out God's will. And a lot of people were using this thing, The Secret.
To name it and claim it.
Well, yeah, essentially that's what it even went beyond that. I mean, essentially what The Secret was saying was that our minds, our wills had the ability to alter reality, that we in essence could create our reality is what The Secret was calling us to do, essentially because we were God.
Yeah.
But, you know, that part was kind of on the lowdown, and what everyone heard is like, oh, so if I do this, then I get the answers I want. That's brilliant. That's what the Bible says. Ask anything in my name, and it'll be given to you.
Oh, yeah.
This is just telling me how to do that.
Yeah.
And so many people latched onto it as, here's the secret formula to figuring out God's will. And, you know, I went through and read a lot of material about The Secret and looked into it, and I was like, wow, this is scary stuff.
Yeah.
Because if you know, I don't know how much you knew about the origin of it, but it was started by some lady who got in touch with this spirit whose name I think was like Abram or something
like that. Yeah, that's biblical.
Yeah. And this entity was actually not an entity, but entities that all spoke as one and was her spirit guide, and it spun out.
There's a story about that in the Bible in there that's kind of like that.
Yes, there
is.
My
name is Legion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, when I got to that part of the story and was doing my background, that's when I got really freaked out. I was like, wow, no one really knows this, do they? And a lot of Christians are thinking this is a good way to find answers to my prayer, find God's will. And that really shocked me. But, okay, so that's the wrong way to do it. What's the right way to seek out God's will?
Well, there is no there's no command in the New Testament to seek God's will. You can't find it. And I think what a lot of people do is they read their Bible and they see, you know, Paul on the road to Damascus. They see Elijah and Elisha, and they see, you know, they see Stephen and he's looking up and he's seeing Jesus, and they try to make these very special circumstances the norm. And they go, man, that's way easier than trying to figure out for myself. You know, it's, man, if God would just tell me, you know, in the earthquake, you know, he wasn't in the earthquake, he wasn't in the wind, you know, that the Samuel passage. Mm-hmm. He was a still small voice. Well, man, I want that still small voice like Elijah. Well, God doesn't uses special circumstances in a very special way. We can't say that those special circumstances are the norm. Not everybody that, in fact, I see very few people in the New Testament that had a conversion experience like Paul. Most of them were converted the same way I was, you know?
At a meeting?
At a meeting where somebody told me about Jesus. And it was like, oh, yeah. So how do you know? I think instead of trying to get this special answer and take the responsibility off you, we need to be looking at a couple of things. We need to be looking at God's word. We need to be looking at the desires of our heart, our motives, our intentions. And this is for any big decision. And we need to be seeking wise counsel. You know, God gave you a brain. You need to use it. He also put godly people in your life. Use them. He gave you his words. If you're looking for in the clouds for where to go to college, you need to be looking at his word. Now, there's not going to tell you Berkeley or USC, you know, but you're going to be able to figure it out using those methods. Mm-hmm. And I don't think in every situation there's only one right answer.
I think that brings up a good point. When you were talking about God not specifically in the Bible telling us, you know, search out my will in this way or this way or this way or at all. And something actually I was looking online and I just typed in, you know, what's the will of God into Google. It's funny.
Really?
Oh, it's
some of the things
amazing
that you find
you
in there.
You Googled the will
I
of God.
Googled the will of God.
Wow.
And surprisingly
it
enough,
it never would have
you know?
Occurred to me to do that.
If any place has the will of God,
it's gotta be Google.
Course,
yeah.
Google's the
wow.
best. No, but something I found, and it was actually these points, because it's there were two articles, one by George Mueller and one by A.W. Tozer, that just really touched on their personal views on not really how to reach the point in which you know the will of God, but how to, in wisdom, seek out something that God would want for your life. And I'm just going to read the first two points on George Mueller's. It says, I seek to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in any given matter. When we are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be, 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome. And then 2 says, having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling or simple impression. If I do so, I make myself liable to great delusions. And to me, as I read that, it really touched home with me, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of times without prayer, without reading the word, without seeking godly counsel, we tell ourselves that God needs to reveal his will to us, but really we have already decided in our hearts what the result is. We've already determined that it's going to either turn out a certain way or that it should turn out a certain way. And so really we're not even listening. We're not sitting quietly and standing back and just letting God work. And again, I'm probably going to say this a million times tonight, but it really goes back down to faith. Because if we don't have faith that God is actually going to work through our lives and that he actually does have a plan for us, we leave ourselves open to this thought that, you know, whatever decision I have in my heart must be the will of God. And we follow through on that. And it hurts so many people, whether it's initially by the choices they make or even just spiritually by telling themselves. And I've seen this one where people are constantly telling themselves that, you know, their actions that they either just did or the actions that they're going to do were because God revealed it to them, because yep. it was, you know, the will of God. Now, that doesn't take away from people who have legitimately, you know, yeah. sought out wise counsel and have prayed about it and have searched scripture for the answers to these things. But when you just sit back and are lazy and say, well, I kind of want to do this, so that must be God's will.
Yeah. Well, I had a kid that graduated, when it was in my youth group, graduated and came up, was so excited. And she said, here's what I'm going to do. God revealed it to me. I said, well, cool, you know. I'm going to go to this college, this Christian college. I'm going to get this degree, and I'm going to start this ministry. And I was like, man, hallelujah, awesome, you know. Well, 2 years into college, her grandmother, who was paying for it, gets sick and passes away. Well, she can't finish college. She'd racked up some debt. She didn't get it, you know, she didn't finish. She had to come back home, didn't just start the ministry. And then what does she do? She blames God. Mm. Well, how could you tell me this, God, and then not follow through? And it's like, okay, lose your faith over that.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's when you ask, okay, who didn't follow through?
Yeah, whose will was that really?
Yeah, and if you really believe it's God's will, why did you give up so easily?
Yeah.
That would be
yeah.
one of my first questions. I mean, because let's be honest. Christians sometimes are kind of pansies when it comes to obstacles.
Yeah.
The first obstacle gets in our way, we think, oh, it must not be God's will.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go with that. Wherever God closes a door, he always opens a window. And I've always thought, how do you know sometimes God isn't waiting for you to kick down that door?
Yeah.
And push on through?
The hinges are rusty.
Right. You know, how do you know that, because when I look through the Bible, I see a lot of times where guys had to go through some tough stuff in pursuit of God's will for their calling. I mean, you know, you look at any of the, look at any of the heroes of the Bible.
Yeah.
You think that was their first response whenever there was an obstacle? Well, can't go that way. Where's that window? A lot of times they had to try and kick down that door and keep on following God's will, no matter what obstacle was put in their path. And sometimes I feel like we've lost that mentality as Christians, and we prefer the whole, I'll just look for the fire escape because I can't go that way. The door is closed. You know, the door might even be ajar a little bit, but the fact that it's mostly closed.
Yeah.
Or half closed. Yeah. Or, hey, it's not pushed up against the wall in some way.
There's not a beam of light and a neon sign saying go this way. And we're like, oh, I'm not sure. 505-338-5790 if you'd like to join in and comment or ask a question as we go through this, as we talk about God's will. And one of the things I love is Romans 12:2. Everyone knows that verse about not conforming to the world. But we forget the last part of it, which I always thought was fascinating when it comes to this question of, well, what is God's will? You know, it tells us that not to conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Everyone knows that part. But then it goes on and says, so that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so when it comes to this question of, well, how do I figure out God's will? I think one answer is right there. Well, first, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Kind of goes along with what you read. Get to the point where you don't have a will of your own, that your mind has been transformed and renewed to the point that you are having the mind of Christ, which is what we're called to have right there in the New Testament. And this is where I think sometimes the Bible cliches get us.
Yeah.
You know, we all know Romans 12:2. Oh, that's where I don't fit in with my friends. If everyone jumps off a cliff, I don't do it because of Romans 12:2. Like, well, that's part of it.
Yeah.
You got to keep reading the rest of the verse. Yeah. We've turned that into a bumper sticker instead of using it as something to guide our life.
Well, Ephesians says, this is the will of God for you. Do not be drunk with wine, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I mean, And that's not just saying, oh, don't drink. That's more of a, you know, I think people use that to say, well, don't drink.
Right.
And that's more of a, don't be controlled by anything but God.
Right.
That's God's will for you. His will for you, and I believe it's 1 Thessalonians, is to pray always. It's God's will for you to pray without, you know, pray without ceasing. There's a lot of things. Whenever it uses God's will, it's not hidden in the Bible.
Nope.
It's always like, this is God's will, you know. Find it under a rock. No, it's never that. It's here's God's will. Boom. Do
right.
it.
Well, some of the things that you guys are talking about, you know, Aaron and Yo, I've noticed that nowhere in the Bible does it talk about these. I mean, it has specifics, you know, do not be drunk on wine, that you need to pray. But all of these things go down to your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, what do I eat for breakfast this morning? But, I mean, really, all it is to draw you closer to God. There's no, you know, magical formula. You guys were talking about that, or, you know, find it under a rock or anything like that. It's very clear. It's very, I mean, blatantly put in the Bible. It doesn't hide, you know, in the, you know, crevice of the scripture anywhere. It's right there. And really all the point is to draw you to God closer, you know?
Well, I helped, I was a theological editor on a book. Fancy pants right
man,
there.
Hey, I should have worn my tie.
Yeah.
My bolo.
Yeah,
oh boy.
I got one of those. But I was a theological editor on this book called Wisdom on Making Good Decisions. It's by a guy named Mark Matlock. And people were a little upset because it's like, why didn't you say, because I had some kids read it, why didn't you call it Wisdom on Finding God's Will? Because a lot of times it's, rather than finding, you know, using something that's not in the Bible, oh, seeking God's will, let's see what, you know, what are we going to eat for breakfast? What's the exact detail of everything? Most of the time, it boils down to making a decision and going with it.
That is a good thing to do, and a lot of people aren't very decisive.
Oh, yeah.
They
want somebody else to do it.
My fault is I'm too decisive sometimes. We have Sojourn on the line. Sojourn, welcome to Raw Talk. Thanks for joining us tonight. What do you have to say, Sojourn?
Hello. Good evening.
Hi.
Hey.
I was just going to say that sometimes, like, with the Lord's will, like, when we have hardships and that, mm-hmm. it's like maybe that he don't change our circumstances, but with the circumstances, humble us in things.
This is very true. As one person put it, sometimes God doesn't calm the storm. Sometimes he calms us to go through the storm.
Mm. Right.
And that's God's will, but we don't like that part, do we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling in and sharing that, Sojourn.
You're welcome.
You have a great evening, all right?
Thanks, you too.
All right, well, 505-338-5790, if you'd like to call in like Sojourn did. If you got a question or a comment that you want to make, please call in and share that as we talk about God's will and how we discover God's will, which is always a big issue. Now, I'm kind of curious, Aaron, since, you know, you were a theological editor.
Oh, yeah.
explain to me the purpose of casting lots, because I've always found that rather intriguing. That was a device used to find God's will. Isn't that like shooting dice, basically?
Maybe more like flipping a coin.
Okay.
Think of it more that way.
Well, that's more precise then, so far as figuring things out.
Yeah. You know, I actually had a seminary professor say that when he was a pastor of a church, when they would come upon a non-moral decision,
mm-hmm.
do we pave the church parking lot or not pave the church parking lot, you know? And so there was an elder-run church. And so there would be, you know, six elders and three for it and three against it. And they had the money and it was okay. But he said, you know, when we would come to one of these decisions, that we're not talking about do we, you know, some theological issue or some doctrinal issue. But, I mean, like, pave the parking lot or not pave the parking lot. They would literally flip a coin.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a good way to do things, I guess.
He said it kept people from feelings getting hurt. And so whatever it did, they went and tried every route and tried to, you know, people would try to convince others. It wasn't like any time, well, what do we do? Flip a coin. No, it was, they would work through a process and, you know, do we do it or do we not do it? And they would come to kind of a standstill and go, well, guess we'll just flip a coin and sort it out that way. Because a lot of times we do that in our mind.
I was going to say, you know, a lot of people right now are thinking, oh, I can't believe people would do that.
Yeah,
but the fact of the matter is,
we
very much enjoy putting out the fleece on a regular basis.
But I don't think that's putting out the fleece, though.
No?
No. I think putting out the fleece for one, that's one incident in the whole Bible. I mean, nobody else gets that.
But we still try.
But I think casting lots and flipping coins, whatever you want to call it, and putting out the fleece are totally different. One was a miracle. I mean, that fleece was a miracle. Yeah. That's like the road to, you know, that's like, well, does God want me to be saved? You know, if he does, I'm going to walk down a road. He's going to, you know, like Paul, he's going to blind me and put scales in my eyes. You know, that's like saying that. Well, I'm going to put out the fleece. Flipping a coin or casting lots is really going, hey, There's two right answers or two non-wrong answers. Which one do I go with?
Now, I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking about how we have a bargain mentality with God a lot of times mm-hmm. when it comes to seeking God's will. God, if it's your will for me to do this, then make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wonder, how is that different from... I guess I don't get the whole difference between a fleece and flipping a coin. Because to me, it seems kind of like the same thing. Only, well, I guess the difference is I don't think I've ever heard anyone who, quote unquote, put out the fleece that had the same kind of miracle like you're pointing out. As more of like a chance kind of thing.
That's, you know, God doesn't usually work like that.
If you want me to go to the school, have a bird fly overhead, and then you go out and...
That's lame.
Yeah, send out your Labrador to flush out the pigeons and... Oh, sweet.
See, what is different from that? And like in the pagans, where they would look at the stars and do us, and if this celestial body goes past, then we're gonna. That's what one author calls a pagan idea.
Hmm. Now, I don't know. Maybe this is just me.
Okay.
But I take a little bit of a different view on that. I think for the most part, no, God doesn't work like that because we're not supposed to test God in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen, and I'm talking really godly. Amazingly godly men and women who have said, you know what, God, I'm really torn. I don't know what to do. You know, I'm and biblical standards that they will set in place. If this is truly your will, if this is the way that you want me to go, I need these things to be in place so that I'm actually able to follow through in it, whether it be in a relationship where somebody said, you know, if this is God, if this is your will, I need this person to have this characteristic. Mm-hmm. That was a godly characteristic.
How is that different from wisdom, though?
No.
I think that's just being wise.
Right. But it's not even with that. I'm going to give an example because I know these people that did this. Before this couple that I know, before they got married, the girl made this standard mm-hmm. that before they even were engaged, she wanted, and I'm going to take a part of this. I think there was more that went into this. She wanted them to be walking somewhere and all of the leaves on a tree fall off or like all at the same time. And it actually happened. And it's stuff like that I think that God will at times just bless us with these amazing things that can't be explained. So I don't know.
Do we need to expect that?
No.
And that's because God works through miracles. God has miracles. And
right.
I mean, there's been time, you know, how I got my job is I literally was praying, God, you know, I was searching for a job and trying to figure out what to do. And I said, you know, it would be great if somebody just called me out of the blue. I never even knew from anywhere. And guess what happened 3 days later?
I was still kept searching.
I was still put my resume out. I was still doing things. And guess what? God worked a miracle. But we can't expect special circumstances to be the norm. Because what about the times? I mean, that's one time where that happened.
Mm-hmm.
What about the other times where it's like, I had a kid go, well, I'm going to send out 7 college applications. And the college that God wants me to go to, that's the only one I'll get accepted to. Well, the kid was like in the top 10% of his class and, you know, really good GPA. And lo and behold, all 7 of them returned and he accepted him.
See, I had it easier because I was not in the top 10%. So that would have worked for me.
You knew it was God's will to go to community college, huh?
That's right. I did. We have Nick on the line. Nick, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Nick?
Hey, Aaron. I'm one of your students at Grace Church. How's it going?
Hey, Nick.
Hey, I just have a question because I struggle with God's will, and I wanted to know what are the steps I need to take in order to, you know, stay close to that each day?
That is a great question, Nick. I appreciate it. You know, a big part of it is like what Mandy was saying, is you need to be pursuing God
right.
with your whole life. Because when your desires line up with God, when the more you're transformed in your thinking and in your heart and the renewing of your mind, then your desires are going to be God's desires. You also need to be surrounding yourself with godly people that you can look to for wisdom. You know, when I was thinking about going to the ministry, I felt a call to go to ministry. But, you know, I was thinking, man, do I do this, do I do this? There was another kid also going through that. There was a godly man in our church that said, you know, Aaron, that's probably a good thing for you. This other guy was so shy, couldn't talk to anybody, hated to be in front of people, and he said, you know, maybe your ministry is not this up front, you know, talking to people, giving lessons. Maybe yours is a behind the scenes, doing other things.
Yeah.
And he had that godly person tell him that. And it was like, he started doing that, working with the sound system and the video. And it was like, wow, he found it. You need to be reading scripture and making sure that whatever you want to do, you know, if somebody comes and goes, man, I want to go into adult films. That's what God's calling me to do. God's probably not going to call you into that. He's probably not going to call you into being an assassin, you know, a car thief. So you need to be reading the Bible.
Flip a coin for that one.
Or not.
Well, thanks for calling in, Nick. I hope that helps you out.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. And, you know, actually, this whole idea of relationship, I think, is really key to figuring out God's will. You know, I've been married 10 years now. That's right. 10. Well, not 10 officially. It's 10 in August. But
it's
like the year of the decade for us. And we're celebrating.
You're in your 10th year.
That's right. And loving it. But, you know, I have no doubt that my wife would know what my will is in all kinds of situations.
Yeah.
Because we've been married for 10 years. She knows me well. She knows my character. She knows how I react to certain situations. She knows my preferences, my likes, my dislikes. And I know for a fact that she would know if it was my will to have chocolate on my sundae or strawberry sauce. She would know exactly what my will
chocolate.
Would be in that. See? Yeah.
I know that.
Well, I think everyone who listens to that knows that. But it's based on the relationship, the fact that she knows me. And I think we overlook that. We want the pat answer. We want the bumper sticker response. We want the secret formula. And
freedom from responsibility.
Exactly. And relationship takes too much investment, takes too much time, and doesn't respond always in the way that we want.
Hmm. Yeah, it's scary.
Right. Because actually, if we really stop to think about it, when we seek God's will, that means we have to give up our own. And that's where things get kind of tricky. Well, I wanted to share with everyone before we ran out of time that I found, you know, God's will. And you actually touched on it in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18. And I was really astounded when I read this. It says, starting in verse 16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I was doing this study with a friend of mine, and I got to those verses, and I just had to stop and put this down. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking, that pretty much sums up an answer for any situation that you could ever possibly ask, what is God's will for me in this? Where should I go to college? Well, let's see. God's will for you is to pray continually. So you can figure that out.
Good call.
And then give thanks in all circumstances. No matter what the result may be, you're thankful for it.
Which includes when things don't turn out exactly how you
the way you
wanted them to.
Right. Exactly. Who should I marry? Well, again, all right, let's see. What would God's will for that be? Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, be joyful always. How should I respond to losing my job? Well, be joyful always, pray continually. As I thought about all these scenarios, I was thinking, this answers all of them.
It
plugs into every single one of them. And it was at that moment when I stopped really worrying about what God's will was for all these specific little situations. Because I already knew what the answer was. Whatever decision I was coming up against, I knew that God's will for me was to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in every circumstance. Mm-hmm. Now, I know right now some people are thinking, yeah, but that doesn't tell me if I should get a red car or a blue car.
Get the red one.
Yeah, I'd go with blue.
Oh, okay.
Flip a coin for it. But the issue for me became, like, I wasn't so worried about the specifics anymore. Mm-hmm. What I was worried about was, am I being joyful always? Am I praying continually?
Yeah.
And when you pray, you're going to get answers. That's just the way it works.
Yes, no, or wait.
Right, exactly. You'll get answers. And giving thanks in all circumstances, no matter how they work out, being thankful. And I was blown away. And so there's my big secret right there. God's will is spelled out for you in 3 verses. Yeah. That's all it took to reveal God's will in the Bible.
Now,
3 verses.
Now, I think, and it's easy for us, because it's easy for us to sit back and kind of giggle about some of these things that people are talking about. But these are life-changing,
yes, they are,
life-altering decisions that are very important. But I think in a lot of cases, there's more than one right answer. We look at Paul, you look at 2 Corinthians, and he makes plans. I think we should be making plans. We should be planning on what we're going to do. We should have, I'm a big goal setter. 6 month, 1 year, 5 year, 10 year goals, and I review them. And I think you see Paul in 2 Corinthians. Well, I wanted to come to you, but I couldn't because of this and this. But now I'm going to come to you, and I plan on coming back. And you read in all of his letters, his epistles, I plan on coming back. Well, and a lot of those, he never did come back because a little thing called death, it kind of prohibited him.
Minor details.
Yeah, minor. Yeah. But we should be making plans. We should be trying to figure, trying to do the best thing, what seems best, and getting those answers on even, sometimes even little things. Well, is it okay if I date this person or not date this person? Well, that's important, if you're worrying about that, but you need to be getting those kinds of things and making those plans. But then, like you said, praying, being joyful, giving thanks.
Well, it covers it.
Yeah. Now, Aaron, you just kind of answered both of my the last few questions that I had for you specifically. But one of them being, and maybe you can even go even deeper into this, I've noticed a lot of times Christians respond to the will of God in 2 different ways. Either we respond in laziness and we step back and say, well, I'm just going to wait for God to put this magic coin in front of my face or this letter. God's going to send me a letter that says to do exactly this. And they just, we'll sit back and we'll just wait and we won't do anything. And, and you touched on that with moving forward and making plans. Now, the other side of that, and this is the one that I'd like you to touch on specifically, is that there are other times when Christians feel like they know the will of God at all times, so they're constantly running after different things, and they don't take time to just sit back. Do you think that there's an importance, and how do you think that people can really go about determining whether they need to sit back and listen to God or to make those plans and move forward?
You know, it's funny. I had a friend in seminary that was a little girl crazy. I'll just put it that way. And he came up.
That's a good way to put it.
He came up to this girl who he didn't even really know and said, "Hey, it's God's will that we get married. So my name is that, you know." And it was like, oh gosh, you know what? I mean, I was there and witnessed this, and I wanted to smack him down afterwards. It's like, who are you? You know, come on. But yeah, there is a time.
I don't recommend that.
They did not get married, oddly enough.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Wow.
Or I've seen guys, you know, guys say, well, I need to go to this college and just push it and push it and take on, you know, $50,000, $60,000 worth of debt so they could go to this college and get this thing. And it's like, you know, that's where you need to get this wise counsel. You need to be talking and reading through. You know, is it wise to take on $60,000 worth of debt if you're going to be a missionary? I mean, I'm just going to tell you, in case you don't know, I got there, they don't make that much. You know, if you're going to be in ministry, don't saddle yourself with a big college debt because you don't make a fortune.
This is true. I can testify.
Yeah. No, me too. 10 years in it. My 401k is sitting at 0.0, you know? So, there is a time that we need to sit back and go, why am I doing this? And that's where we do need to, you know, take what Ephesians says, a sober estimation of ourselves, a good look at ourselves. And I need to ask myself, am I doing this because it's going to make me feel good and feel worthwhile? Or am I doing this because this is what I think this glorifies the Lord the most? And if we don't, if we can't answer that question very honestly, then we have a huge problem.
Well, we're just about out of time, but we're going to catch up with Darren next. Darren, welcome to Ron Talk. And what do you have to say, Darren?
Hey, I got a quick question.
Yeah, go for it.
So it doesn't really matter what your decision is, as long as you're seeking counsel and praying constantly and trying to glorify God. If you, like, want to go to a certain college, but it doesn't go out, and what's going on?
I wouldn't say it doesn't matter, because that is saying that it's not important. Those decisions are very important. It does matter that you use wise decision-making skills. If you want to go to a certain college, man, try to get scholarships, try to do things. But man, if it's going to put you in $60,000 worth of debt,
yeah, don't do something stupid.
Don't do something stupid. God gave you a brain. God gave you wise people around you. Ask them. If you're having wise Christian people go, that's not a good idea. Guess what? It's probably not a good idea. So
You know, I had someone once say, another pastor. I've heard a lot of pastors. My dad was in the Air Force. We traveled around the world. But I heard one guy once say it, and I thought it was a fascinating statement. He said, if you are walking step in step with God, walking side by side with God on a regular daily basis, go ahead and do whatever you want. Because when your relationship with God is that close, you will never do anything that he wouldn't want you to. Mm. Yeah. And I knew a lot of people that got really uneasy with that. Do whatever you want. You can't tell people to do that. You can't tell them to do whatever you want. And you know, I was saying, that's not what he said. He said, if you're walking step in step with God, side by side with him on a regular daily basis, go ahead and do whatever you want, because you won't want anything that he doesn't.
The Bible says he'll give you the desires of your heart. And when your desires line up with his desires, he wants to give you those things.
Right. And you know, I always thought that was such a great way to put it. And it also exemplified how nervous we are about doing things.
Yeah.
You know, so many people got so uneasy with that. And it made perfect sense to me. It's like, well, of course, if you're walking with God, you're not going to want anything that he would want
for you.
So that makes your life easy. But everyone that was in that service, they made it so complicated. It's like, well, that's just going to cause people to stumble and fall into sin. It's like, but no.
Well, I had a friend who was a Christian teacher with me tell me that it was God's will that he leave his wife and go marry some other lady that he had been cheating on. And I said, no, that is not God's will. Here's the Bible. The Bible says this is that you don't do that. Well, I feel it. It's like, well, you're not walking with God.
Well, that's a whole nother raw talk right there. Trusting your feelings over anything else. I hope that helps you out, Darren. Thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time, and, man, it's been a good conversation. I think we covered a lot of ground and touched on a lot of big topics that we could have gone into detail with, but hopefully this has been something that will help people out when it comes to tackling the subject of God's will. Before we wrap things up, Aaron, why don't you tell everyone real quick when you guys meet for your youth group and what night of the week, what time, and just give them some info and how they can get in touch with you if they got more questions.
Okay, if you have questions, you can email me at Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at gracechurchabq.org. We meet on Sunday mornings at from 9 to about 10 o'clock, and the high school meets at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. Mid-school meets at 6 o'clock on Saturdays, and we just do all kinds of fun stuff and go to a website, gracechurchabq.org, and check us out.
Thanks so much for sharing your time tonight, Aaron. I mean, it's been
a blast,
and I really appreciate your input on everything that we've tackled, and it's been good. And again, I want to remind everyone, if you didn't get your question in, submit it to Dear DJ at m88.org. I mean, that's what it's there for, to answer your guys' questions. Steve-O and the rest of the guys here at M88 will be on tomorrow and answering your questions. Like I said, Aaron and other youth pastors, you know, they're all invited to be a part of it. So if you didn't get your question in, Dear DJ at m88.org, good way to do that. That's why we set it up, because, you know, man, we get a lot of questions the day after.
Right. Well, and there's also, you know, anybody who signed up for the M88 newsletter, there is going to be a link in there. I can't remember if it went out on Friday or if it's going out on Monday, but, you know, for all those who are, it's right in there. And, you know, these, I know that there are a lot of people who feel uncomfortable calling in to get their questions answered. And, you know, people sometimes are just more comfortable, whether it be by email or, you know, just going in and you know, typing something up in a box and sending it, but those questions can get answered. People don't have to feel like they missed out because they missed the hour.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So I really encourage people to write in, you know, and call in any show. You know, if you have a question about anything we're talking about, we love to hear these questions. And you know, even if when they're challenging, that's great.
Those are the best ones.
Disagree with us even. Those are great.
Those are even better. Well, and next week we'll give people a lot of chances to do that as we talk about courting and dating. Valentine's Day next Saturday. And
is that God's will?
That's
true.
We'll investigate that.
This will kind of go right into that. And, you know, this is something that really hits not even just young people. It hits everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if anybody who's single really has this question on the mind, you know, is it okay to date, or do we need to court, or is it okay to do either of them? Parents even that don't know how to respond to this when their 13-year-old comes home and says, "Mommy, I have a boyfriend." I mean, what do you do? What is what does the word say about that?
That's when you get out the shotgun. Hey, I just got a new buck knife that I'll be keeping around for when my girls are dating.
You just got to keep the rifle by the front door.
That's
or
right.
Shovel. Shovel's even better.
Yeah.
Wear a mustache.
Yeah, there you go. You know, and this is something I was talking about this with my wife the other night about this topic upcoming, because we had kind of a unique start to our relationship, and I'll share all that next week, about courting versus dating. Uh-huh. And I have kind of a unique background with it from traveling around the world as an Air Force brat. And it's an issue that a lot of people want God's will in, you know, when it comes to relationships. It's the number one thing that I think a lot of people think of. What is God's will? And should we court or date? And really, it comes down to the key of all human existence, relationships.
Mm.
What's the best way to approach a relationship with someone of the opposite gender? And hopefully next week, you know, people get some good advice on that.
Right.
A day late. Because Valentine's Day
will be
over.
The day after Valentine's Day, people will be up a little
bit. They need the most advice.
Yeah, that's when all the post-breakup people will be tuning in. Where did I go wrong? And it won't be that kind of show. Although we'll try and help you out if you got questions like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I'm looking forward to that. Thanks, Mandy, as always, for hanging out.
Awesome. It's been wonderful.
Yeah.
Good
you're wonderful.
You,
it's good talking to
you
all.
Yeah. Aaron's wonderful. Everybody's wonderful. And
fantastic.
Thanks for joining us. It's fantastic here on Raw Talk, and we'll see you again next week.